Okay. If you got the book In Heavenly Places, we're on page 40. Yeah, just click the link that's in the room right now if you want to follow along. It's page 40. It's the entry for February 3rd. And it's titled Wonderful Condescension. I don't want to say condensation, but that ain't right. All right. Starts off quoting 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And then she says, "We visited the buildings which were formerly the palaces of kings when France was under kingly rule. My thoughts were first upon the kings who had once traversed these grand halls and figured in these galleries. Where is their human greatness now?" Blunt. But then she says, "Then we remember Jesus, who came to our world with his blessed purpose of love, divesting himself of his royal robe, his royal crown, stepping down from the royal throne, clothing his divinity with humanity, and coming to our world to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We see him among the poor, blessing the afflicted, healing the sick, soothing the infirmities of age, reaching with his divine pity, the very depths of human woe and misery." And he could also do it with his role. I mean, but I don't want to say piety with him. Anyway, she says, "He even noticed the sorrows and needs of little children." Man, what a contrast, huh? And then you look at the Vatican. One of those paintings on the wall, especially the old ones, you know, thousands of years old, like, well, not thousands, but let's just say, you take a pick a painting, any painting. pick one that's 1,500 years old, just one. Sell it. Just that one painting will get you enough money to feed all the starving people in the world for 1 year, for a whole year. But the Vatican won't do that. Nope. Just like James chapter 5, verse 3 says, they're just like all the rest. They're heaping their treasures for the last days. And then she goes on to say, "Angels have been sent as messengers of mercy to the distressed, to the suffering. These angels from the world of light, from the infinite glory of God before the throne, are on missions of love, of care, of mercy for the suffering ones of humanity. But there is a picture of greater condescension than this. The Lord, the Son of the Infinite Father, the Prince of the Kings of the Earth." Amen. I mean, she says, you can't really add to that. But she says, "What is the work of angels in comparison with his condescension? His throne is from everlasting. He has reared every arc and pillar in nature's great temple." I mean, if you think about that, yeah, he created all that is seen and unseen. He's walking on this earth, and he does so as a poor man. You know, didn't like he said to the one time when they were asking him, where is he, you know, sleeping? And he says, "The Son of Man, I mean, the fox have holes, and you know, but he doesn't have anywhere to lay his head." And praise the Lord. Oh, there goes that cuckoo clock just went off in the background. For those of you listening to this recording, apologize for that, but that's just a system alert. All right. Anyway, she goes on to say that, "Behold him, the beginning of the creation of God, who numbers the stars, who created the worlds, among which this earth is but a small speck, and would scarcely be missed from the many worlds, more than a tiny leaf from a forest trees." But does that give you an idea how many? And think about that. She knew of this even before the Hubble telescope was put up. And what they just found out, I put the video on the site a couple of months ago, where the Hubble just found out just by going to a small postage stamp section of the night sky, and they held the telescope open. I think it was, 10, 11 days straight, just to get every bit of light in that they could, and they found billions of galaxies, which meant trillions of planets. And so, yeah, this planet would be like, you know, a leaf that falls off a tree in a great forest. And then she says, "The nations before him are but as a drop in a bucket and as the small dust of the balance. Contemplate him, the Lord." I mean, just what she's saying here, literally, contemplate him, the Lord, the all-glorious Redeemer and inhabitant of the world. he has created and yet unacknowledged by the very ones he manifested so great interest to bless and save? What condescension to the fallen men of earth. What wondrous love. It is amazing to think about that. He loved us that much to come down here and to introduce himself and his love to us like that. And yet, he created. And it's amazing enough that he did that. That he walked among us from the age of 30 to 33 before they killed him, of course, on the cross. And then he definitely got up again. He allowed himself to be born as an infant and put his, trust in his parents to take care of him as well as the angels to help the parents. I mean, we know what happened when Joseph was sleeping and the angel woke him up twice. the first time, hey, you better marry Mary. And then, of course, the other one was to Herod's dead. You can go where you got to go now. But this is a mighty God. And this is a mighty love that he has displayed. And then on top of all this, I mean, contemplating him with all that he has created and the trillions and trillions of planets to where this one's just like a leaf falling in a great forest. It's no big thing or a drop in a bucket compared to him. I mean, and even to him, he created all that as well. And then he allows himself to be whipped, beaten, hung on a cross, crucified, and then, of course, slaughtered, killed for us. Contemplate him. His love is, even the angels can't figure it out. They still look upon that with great wonder. And we're going to have that opportunity as well for all of eternity to look into that love. And we're not seeking to, figure it out or anything like that. We're just trying to, be blessed by it, enraptured by it, just dwell in it, what words can you come up with other than that? So, hold on a second.